Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
941 Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. We're talking about our Bozo Garin Ray special that'll be on Christmas Eve at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV, where you will be able to see the fully restored Susie Snowflake that is part of Chicago holiday tradition, and, of course, Hard Rock Coco and Joe, Frosty the Snowman, not to mention all the memories about Bozo Circus, Ray Rayner, Garfield Goose. Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. on WGN-TV, and then Christmas morning at 9, Bozo Circus, the 1970s. And let's get into our Week in Health feature. This is a week we really, you know, need to be thinking about our health a little bit with the kinds of things that we're eating, the crowds that we're in, the parties that we're at, the kinds of things that we're drinking this time of year as well. Dr. Jeremy Silver, always wonderful to have you on the program. He is the medical director, emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Happy holidays to you there, my friend. How are you?
Hey, same to you, Dean. Happy holidays to you and all your listeners as well.
So how big of, I don't want to spoil anyone's holiday, you know, that everything that you're going to do for the holidays are bad for you. But, the drinking part, it can get a little out of hand this time of year, right?
Well, it can. And nobody's saying don't do it. But I think we're definitely advising to keep it moderated. Take it easy and try not to overdo it.
Are there some beverages which are less harmful than others? Are, you know, hard liquors better than wines or beers, or mixed drinks better than straight alcohol? What should we do?
Well, I think it's, pure the consumption, right? It's the amount of alcohol.
The quantity,
weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And, we'll see studies come out from time to time. There was one out this week that showed a couple of glasses of red wine in a Mediterranean population. People that were eating a Mediterranean diet actually seemed to be protective against some heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
So people love to point to those studies, and you can't refute it. I mean, it's definitely there's definitely some advantage to wine in the long term. But drinking a bottle of it over the holidays isn't going to help your heart.
Right. The rule that I had always heard was for every alcoholic beverage, every glass of an alcoholic beverage that you have, you should have a glass of water to chase it, to kind of balance it off a little bit. I guess that what fights dehydration.
It does help. Alcohol actually stimulates a hormone in the brain that tells the kidney to get rid of water in the body. It's kind of complicated, but the simple fact is the more that you drink alcohol, the more you're going to pee out water and like you say, become dehydrated. So it certainly can help in that small way. But the way that the body eliminates alcohol is a straight line, and nothing impacts that elimination factor. So you can drink a gallon of water, you're still going to eliminate it slowly over time. So thinking about being at a party and driving home, you need to be very careful. Water is not going to help you sober up quicker, and neither will coffee, for that matter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've done our good deed of just even mentioning it and putting it, in front of people so they'll think about it a little bit. 312-981-7200 is our phone number if you have questions for Dr. Silver. 312-981-7200. We'll get to your calls and texts in a minute. Am I hearing that there is a measles outbreak right now?
You are. It's so sad. It's the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is a country in Africa, has a huge outbreak right now. There's no access to vaccines in that country. They'd be all over it if they had access. and thousands of kids have died recently, or and more have suffered the results of the malnutrition that comes with it, and diarrhea, and deafness, and blindness, and it's just measles is such a horrible disease, and this is a great object lesson for us in the Western world where we have access to the antidote. Let's use it. Let's not throw it away because it's it saves lives and it keeps kids from getting incredibly ill.
Yeah, I've heard that there's an outbreak as close as Canada, which is, you know, that's pretty close, especially considering how contagious measles are. Am I remembering all of this correctly? It's been a while since we've talked about measles, but I seem to remember that if somebody got measles when you were a kid, stay away from them because it's super contagious.
It is. You know, 9 out of 10 people that have been in a room with measles for, you know, a fraction of an hour are going to become infected. So it's highly contagious. And 1 out of 4 people are going to end up in the hospital if they're not vaccinated. So it's brutal, not to mention that 1 in 1,000 unvaccinated children will die from the disease.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
and it's not good.
Is this contagious airborne, or do you have to actually physically come in contact with it?
Yeah, no, just breathing in the droplets will get you sick. So you know, definitely something you want to, if you haven't been vaccinated against measles, or you're hesitant about your child, this is one of those no brainers where the data is all very positive in the direction of get it done, and you've done your child, yourself, your family, and those around you a huge service.
Yeah, it's you talked about the Congo, but I was seeing reports where it's in Australia, also very far from us, but you know, Toronto is not that far from us. it's pretty close, you know, especially with people traveling for the holidays. You know, crowds, parties, people are getting together. You know, the last thing you need is, how do you know if you may have been exposed to it? Are there immediate signs?
Well, Dean, you mentioned the United States. There have been 284 total cases here, and just in 2024 alone, 16 outbreaks where you have a cluster of folks infected. So it's here in the U.S., and we're seeing more and more outbreaks directly related to vaccine hesitancy. Typically, it initially can represent or seem like any other kind of virus where you've got, you know, maybe a fever or runny nose, but the three kind of cardinal symptoms of cough, runny nose, and conjunctivitis, those three symptoms together, and certainly a head-to-toe rash would raise concern and definitely would want you to get yourself or your loved one to a physician. The other component is the very high fever.
Yeah, I thought that measles were eliminated. Was that the case, and now they have rebounded, or had they never completely eliminated in the first place?
Well, we had eliminated it for all practical purposes, I want to say, back in 2000. There were no cases being reported here in the United States. Of course, worldwide, totally different story. So we had effectively eliminated it here in the U.S. It was gone. And then through the anti-vaccine movement, that it slowly crept its way back in, unfortunately.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. Well, there's been a lot of talk about the anti-vaccine movement lately, so keep your ears peeled, and we'll bring you the facts every week here as well. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's get to some of the calls and texts for Dr. Silver when we come right back. 9:53. Sunday before Christmas. Here we go. 312-981-7200. Our phone number, your questions and text for Dr. Jeremy Silver. I've got the 708 area code doctor asking, hearing stories about bird flu reemerging. What is bird flu? What can I do to protect myself?
Yeah, so Bird flu is a form of flu that we're seeing in particularly in poultry. It's H5N1 is the call sign, and so we've seen in Canada one individual become extremely ill from being exposed. There was a thought that possibly because the herds of cattle are being infected with it, that possibly raw milk. Unpasteurized milk could potentially be a vector or a source, but that's still up for discussion. But in Louisiana, there was an older individual, somebody in their 60s, who became infected from backyard chickens, essentially, and became extremely ill. So we still have not yet seen the leap from human to human. But as we've seen over the last 5 years, eventually the odds are, with so many trillions of mutations occurring in the animal vector, eventually that there's a chance that it's gonna populate humans and then go from human to human. So the key is just really my advice to folks is stay away from birds. Don't be feeding the birds by hand. I certainly wouldn't do it. And then we, as a public health organization, the United States needs to kind of just be monitoring this, and we'll follow it along as we go.
Is there any danger in eating birds, a chicken, turkey, you name it?
No danger in eating the meat or the eggs as long as they're cooked, and that just is kind of a general truism. For all kinds of bacteria,
right.
Forget about bird flu. I think about salmonella, for instance, that is often coating the surface of the egg shell. And so when you crack the egg and it goes in the frying pan, it's still got the salmonella in it. And so if you heat it to the point where it's fully cooked through, that salmonella is effectively killed.
Yeah, that's why, so many people now, they're making eggnog, which calls for the raw eggs in the recipe. Pasteurized raw eggs, which I'm not sure if all eggs are pasteurized or not, but to pasteurize them themselves, just to be on the safe side, you need to raise them to a certain temperature, put them in a pot with water, raise them to a certain temperature, not to the point where they become soft-boiled, but just to kill off any potential salmonella, I suppose, that might be in there. Bob, you're on WGN with Dr. Jeremy Silver. Hi.
Hi. I am 84, and when I was in grammar school, I had chicken pox, measles, and mumps. Am I still immune to those, particularly the measles?
Yeah, we all had those vaccinations when we were kids. Are we still immune?
No vaccination.
Oh, you had the actual diseases. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's 75 years ago.
Okay, doctor, what's the story?
Yeah, you've got a natural immunity to it. So, I'm glad that you you're of that hardy stock of folks, that generation of people that have been through a lot of life and certainly exposed to diseases, and your body has developed an immunity to that from that.
How about the rest of us that did not have the disease but did get vaccinated for all of those things when we were kids? Are we still covered?
Yes, that immunity is persistent. Now, that doesn't hold true for all pathogens or all diseases. So, for instance, the flu changes year to year, and, of course, COVID is evolving. So, those types of viruses do require re-upping the vaccine. We call those booster shots.
Okay.
But it doesn't hold for all infectious diseases. We talked about RSV and that vaccine is a one-time vaccine. So it's complicated. The immune system is not simple. And so if you have any questions, talk to your primary care doctor about what you should or shouldn't have for a vaccine.
Okay, very good. Doctor, I hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday. We appreciate you greatly every week, and happy holidays to you. Thank you so much.
Same to you, Dean. Happy holidays.